Blog Talk Radio.
To Blog Talk Radio, Eagles of Fire. Hallelujah. 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 Good evening. evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Eagles of Fire. God bless each and every one of you this evening. We have our co-host, our host, Minister Malia Neal, on with us. She will be bringing the word tonight. And myself, Prophetess Christy Gurley with Eagles of Fire Prayer Group. We just give God glory. And our apostle, Lawson, will not be able to join us on tonight. Let's continue to keep her in prayer. Amen. Our topic tonight is it's entitled David's Knowledge of Spiritual Authority. Hallelujah. I will go ahead and open up in prayer and then an exhortation, and then Minister Neal will be discussing the topic right after, and then we'll go further into prayer. Amen. So we just give God glory. Father God, we thank you for this time for on Blog Talk Radio. God, I just ask, God, that you clear the airways with the blood of Jesus. We just give you praise. We give you honor. And Father God, I ask, God, that you be with us as we speak your word, God, and God, that your presence, Father God, will touch, God, each heart and each mind, and each ear will hear everything that you want them to hear in this hour, to be able to go forth, God, and the purpose and the destiny that you have each for each and every one of us. God, anoint our lips, God, as we go forth in your word. And God, be with every listener tonight. Strengthen them, keep them encouraged. Help them, God, as they went throughout the day. God, that you just keep them and you continue to undergird them. Hallelujah. God, I ask that you even be with our apostle. You strengthen her, you lead her and you guide her, you protect her, you cover her with the precious blood of Jesus. We just thank you for what you're doing and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this evening. Amen. As I was just going before the Lord and asking him, you know, what he wanted me to bring as an exhortation tonight, you know, he wants me to encourage each and every one of you all today to be strengthened in him. Amen. And he gave me Isaiah 43:1-3. And I'm going to read that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit. And it says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And, you know, I gave Egypt as ransom for your freedom, and I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place." So God wants each and every one of us to know tonight to not be afraid. You know, it can be so easy to give in to worry, fear, and despair, but with him, we can find strength and look forward to wonderful things because he gives us hope. So, you know, be encouraged knowing that God is with you. Even when you go through the deep waters, he's with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And he is with you when you walk through the fire of oppression. You will not be burned, and no flame will touch you or consume you because God is with you. He's undergirding you, and he's strengthening you, and nothing will harm you. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Prophetess Christy Gurley. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Okay. Thank you so much for that exhortation. It is definitely much appreciated for me tonight. So tonight the topic is David's Knowledge of Authority, as Prophetess Gurley explained. And if I could tell you all that this is such a fascinating passage of scripture in God's word, and it's so rich, it's so much in there concerning David and Saul and his authority. And I would just encourage you, because I'm going to be jumping around kind of just throwing scriptures out there as I'm talking about it, but 1 Samuel chapter 9, pretty much through the end of 1 Samuel, really lays it out, David and how he came into authority and his relationship with the king before he became king, which is you know, what the authority is really about. So David, just a brief synopsis of David's life. David, Jesse's son, he was one of several sons of Jesse, who was a sheep herder. He took care of his father's sheep. So he spent a lot of time in the pasture, protecting the sheep and caring for them. And during that time, David really cultivated an awesome relationship with God. He became very close to God, and just really, his heart was really open to getting to know who God is. And David wrote a lot of the Psalms. So a lot of the Psalms we can see, you know, he kind of put his feelings down. That's how he, on the side, he was a psalmist. And so while David was minding his business and tending sheep and cultivating and really loving on God, that same God was communicating with the prophet Samuel, telling him that David was going to be anointed king in place of Israel's first king, Saul. See, let's go back a little bit. Israel had to have a king after they were delivered from Egypt. God didn't want to give him a king. He wanted to be Lord and king over their life, but they needed a man. So God sent Samuel to anoint Saul. Saul ended up basically not being able to submit to God's authority. God gave him some instruction in war, and Saul didn't heed to it. Basically, he did what he wanted to do. So on a few occasions, Saul just refused to do what God told him to do. So basically, God said, okay, I'm done with you. He didn't put him out of the position immediately, but he sent Samuel to choose another king, and that king ended up being David, the one who all the while he was a sheep herder, was really just loving on God and knowing God and cultivating that relationship with him. So Samuel was sent to pick David out of all of Jesse's sons, and he anointed him. Soon after that, Saul came into the picture. Saul was being tormented because God had left him. And so God allowed a tormenting spirit to come and vex Saul. And so basically Saul's servant said, we know of a psalmist, you know, you probably need someone to come and play some music for you. We know of a psalmist that can, you know, that can help you with that. So they brought David, and David began to play, and the spirits that were vexing Saul, the anointing on David's life, the spirits that were vexing Saul had to leave him. It calmed him down. So basically, David began to work in Saul's court. He stayed close to Saul. Saul needed him, basically, to drive the depression and fear that tormenting spirit will bring. It will drive it away. After that, basically, Saul and his people went to war a few times. And David, who was, you know, back and forth herding sheep and working in Saul's court playing music for him, ended up out on the field with them. And he wasn't supposed to face Goliath, but he ended up facing Goliath. Basically, almost in a way, you know, we know it was orchestrated by God, but it wasn't set that way. David was not known to be a warrior. He was not known to be in the military. So David basically heard what was going on and heard that Goliath was basically challenging God. So David saw that as a personal attack on God. And so he saw that opportunity to challenge Goliath and defeated Goliath, because he knew that because he was doing it in the name of God, that he would be victorious. And he was. So long story short, Saul became jealous because David was successful, and the people began to chant about David and his exploits and how he had done more than Saul had done. So all the while, David is still submitted to Saul and willing to serve Saul, while Saul was jealous and basically went after him he wanted to kill him. And so even though David knew that he was chosen by God and anointed to be king, he was not crowned for 20 years until Saul's death. So he still had to be in a place of submission to authority because of his life and his walk with God. He stayed submitted to authority. And so him being a fierce protector of his God, and because he submitted to authority, he was given authority. And because he respected God's authority, he was given authority. Both David and Saul really didn't think that they were prominent enough to be king of Israel when God chose them. When God sent Samuel to Saul back in 1 Samuel chapter 9, in verse 21, Saul explains how he didn't even come from a large tribe. His tribe was the least, even though his family was wealthy, he was the least important tribe of all. But that didn't matter to God. And David, too. You know, when Saul was hunting David and going after him, you know, why David's like, why would a king that has everything, that has all of this authority, be chasing me? Why me? And like I said, this is all through 1 Samuel, especially 1 Samuel chapters 24 and 26. Why are you chasing me? Why are you after me? He couldn't understand why Saul was jealous of him. But Saul, the anointing on David's life that proved and that made him successful in every conquest, every war, you know, every situation, he saw David being successful in winning his son Jonathan's heart and winning his daughter's heart. David became Saul's son-in-law. Saul was very jealous of these things. And so David had to spend a lot of time running from Saul. But what he did not do, and David knew that with his relationship with God, that he could have had an opportunity to exert and go after Saul and get him, because he knew that he was also anointed. So we have two anointed people. Saul is already king. David is to become king. So one is already in the throne and one is waiting for the throne. But David waited his turn. He could have killed Saul in chapters 24 and chapter 26 and did not. David's people actually said to him, he's right here for you. One time Saul was chasing after David and went into a cave and he was resting. And he didn't know that David was also in that cave. So David cut off a piece of his robe. And he even felt bad after that he cut off a piece of Saul's robe, because he was so strong about not harming God's anointed, God's chosen. So let's go real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 24. I want you to see this, David's response when he had the opportunity to kill Samuel. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So I'm going to start at verse 1. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 special troops from throughout Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding in that very cave. Now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today is the day the Lord was talking about when he said, I will certainly put Saul into your power to do with as you wish. Then David crept forward and cut off a piece of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. "The Lord knows I shouldn't have done it," he said to his men. "It is a serious thing to attack the Lord's anointed, for the Lord himself has chosen him." See, I wonder how, if we look at it today and how people so easily speak against those that God has anointed, even though they may be in the wrong, there was a, David had an uncommon reverence for the person that God had anointed, even though he had fallen out of God's grace. But the fact that God had chosen him caused David to stay right there, and he wouldn't move. What he did was he left Saul to God. He said, if anything's going to be done about Saul, God's going to have to do it. I'm not going to do it. So he said, it is a serious thing to attack the Lord's anointed, for the Lord himself has chosen him. Verse 7. So David sharply rebuked his men and did not let them kill Saul. And then listen to this. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. And some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said I would never harm him. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I'm not trying to harm you and that I've not sinned against you, even though you've been hunting to kill me. The Lord will decide between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you're trying to do to me, but I will never harm you." So David basically was just leaving it up to God to figure out what is going to happen. Saul kept on pursuing David. David had to spare Saul's life again, and it shows it in chapter 26. But David would not change. David would not move from that place. And David, sorry, 1 minute. Basically, because of David walking with God and because his heart for God, he wanted to stay in a place where God's authority was supreme in his life. He wanted to stay submitted and make sure that he was in God's way. And so I just, you know, there are some takeaways that I got from doing this study. And one of them is that, you know, walking with God with a pure heart to know him will cause authority to come to you. While David was tending sheep as a young person, God was speaking to his prophet to choose him. And it doesn't matter where you come from or what you have, your heart towards God, your walk with him, inquiring of him, learning of him, letting him be Lord of your life, that precedes authority. There are no shortcuts. There are no other ways. Saul was anointed because God was basically giving Israel what they wanted. But Saul did not do what he was supposed to do, and God couldn't let him stay in that place. And I think that that is a good takeaway for us. If we don't stay in complete and so and just utter submission and keeping our heart in the right place, there's somebody else that can do it, because God cares so much about his people. Even the stiff-necked, stubborn Israelites that he had just delivered, he gave them what they wanted, basically. And so even David was flawed. I definitely don't want to make it seem like David did everything right, because he didn't. You know, we know about when he got into authority, he abused authority. We talked about misuse of authority last week. He did when he sent Bathsheba's husband to war so that he'd be killed, so that he could have her. But then the prophet Nathan came and told David about it. David suffered consequences. He lost his son. But one thing God, David did, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, David repented quickly. So David had a heart for God. He was in communion with God. He walked with God. God increased him. God gave him the top place and authority with Israel. And then from David's line came our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I really believe David was blessed because of his heart towards God. The Bible said that he had a heart after God. It didn't say that Saul had a heart after God. It said that God gave Saul a new heart when he anointed him king. But David had the heart of God. And so that's why no matter what David went through, all of his trials, you can look in the Psalms, David went back to God and inquired of God, why do I have to go through this? But you're still God. Why do I have to do this? But you're still God. He questioned sometimes, but he never moved from the fact that God is God. And he never moved from the fact that what God has ordained, what God has chosen, I'm going to respect that. And that's why Saul did not get killed on the occasions that, you know, that he could have. And so, again, walking with God with a pure heart to know him, to really know him, is what is was necessary for David to come to the place of authority that he was in. And even though he was flawed, he was quick to repent and surrender. So after Saul died and it wasn't in David's hands, then he was anointed king and able to go forward. And David was blessed despite all that he went through. He had a lot of issues, but he was blessed and he had a heart after God. And God loved David. That's all I have for tonight. I pray that you received something from it. I know that I did. Again, the whole story is very fascinating. There's a lot in it, starting at 1 Samuel chapter 9 through the end of 1 Samuel. If you can just take some time and read through that, I promise. It's a wonderful passage of scripture. A lot in there. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God for the word. That's awesome. That's amazing. You know, just David's authority. Amen. And what he, you know, he had the chance to do away with Saul, but he respected the anointing on Saul's life, even though Saul wanted to kill him, you know, and it is, it's a heart thing, the motive of our heart. We always have to make sure that the motive of our heart is pure, just like Psalms 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within us. Hallelujah. So we just give God praise. Minister Neil, did you want to go ahead and pray, and then I'll close this out, please?
Sure. Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the examples in your word. We thank you for the lessons in your word. We thank you for drawing us closer to you through your word. We thank you so much for your spirit that just illuminates things for us, Father God, that just brings things to our spirit, Father God, to strengthen us in our inner man. I pray that we all be strengthened in our inner man by your spirit. I pray that we all be drawn to you by your spirit, Father God, that we might just become closer to you and walking with you and be and just empowered by you to be who you called us to be, that we might take that place of authority and with respect and with humility and a humble heart, that you might get the glory because it's all about you. So I just pray for everyone on this call tonight, Father God, that have joined us, Father God. I pray for our leader. I pray for Apostle Blossom. I thank you for our visionary, Father God, that has started this call, Father God, that we might come and be in commune with each other and be refreshed in your presence, Lord God. So I just pray that you continue to have your way, that we might go from glory to glory to glory on this call, Father God. And it's for your glory. And we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this time, God. I just ask, God, that you strengthen Minister Maria as she's imparted, God. And Father God, we just thank you, God, for the word. We thank you, Jesus, that you give us strength, you give us hope, you give us love, you give us joy. And God, that you just clean us out from the inside out. Father God, I pray right now, God, that everyone that is listening on this line, hallelujah, that Father God, wherever there is any type of weakness, any type of discouragement, any type of draining, God, Father God, I ask that it break right now in the name of Jesus. And we lose your strength. We lose upliftment. We lose courage. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, cover each heart tonight. God, that we may be able to continue to press towards the mark of the high call, which is in you, Christ Jesus. Oh, God, help us to stay focused, God. Father God, no matter what is trying to, what obstacle or what opposition would try to come up against us, God, Father God, we can be like David, God. And Father God, confront the giant, Abashe, because God, greater are you in us than he that is in the world. So God, we thank you, God, that we have the boldness as David had, the heart as David had, God, because you want us to have a heart after your own heart. Father God, we thank you for the compassion, the love, hallelujah, the joy, the fruits of the Spirit we walk in, God, so we can be able to demonstrate your glory through us, your power, oh God. Father God, I pray for our leader, Apostle Blossom. I ask that you be with our spiritual mom right now. You strengthen her, God. You undergird her, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you for this opportunity. And God, I just ask, God, that you impart unto her, God, the joy of her salvation, God, the keeper, God, going, God. And God, that you just embrace her with your love in this hour, God. Give her the more, Father God, that she will be blessed going in and blessed coming out. And God, we just love you for her. And God, that peace will abide in her at all times. Father God, we come against any opposition, anything, God, that is weighing her down. And God, we just ask, God, that you just have a hedge of protection around her, God, at all times, everywhere she goes, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just ask that you prison. You continue to have way, oh Jesus, and God, that they will go forth and whatever you ask them to do, God, that they will be willing and obedient, God, and they will say yes, oh Jesus, to your will and to your way. They will trust you and obey. And God, we just love you for it. We just thank you, God. We just give you glory, honor, and praise because it's all you, oh Jesus, and we're just doing what you say do, God. So we just glorify you. We praise you, God. We thank you that you graced us with another day and you kept us all the way through. So we just love you, God, and we give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you all. You all have a blessed evening, and we will see you all next Wednesday. God bless you.
Burn it away.